Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hello, my name is Mike, and today's show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. It's quite simply the best way to support this show. If you need it, Amazon has it, and you can get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Bookmark it, please.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I think it's a good thing that my coworkers, my cohorts, Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, think of me in a youthful way, because I was inquiring with our brand new intern Noelle before the show. I really didn't get a chance to get a look at her on camera, and I said, let me look at you, and I said it really in kind of a fatherly way, and then I asked her if she had a boyfriend, and immediately you two disgusting individuals jumped on me, and like it was something that was not what the way it was intended. Well, and you know, oh hey, you want to know she's got a boyfriend, you like older men and stuff like that, you pervs.
It's in the
I didn't mean it that way at all.
What you might have said was, I didn't get a chance to see you on the camera the last time you were here, but what I heard was, come on, let me see you.
I didn't say it like that. You made me sound like Steve Effing Bridges.
That's what I'm saying.
I heard. Slide over there in front of the camera. Why don't you?
I want to see it. There you go.
Give me a once around.
No. I mean, my daughter, Noelle is
Dallas,
my daughter's age, for God's sake.
You tried to bring your daughter in the conversation and save the awkwardness.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Oh, for God's sakes, you disgust me, both of you.
I had a different perspective, Mike. I felt like, and we haven't seen him in action such a long time. But I felt like...
Who are you even talking about?
He's talking about me, and I'm getting really queasy right now.
Seeing Mike in action.
I felt like we were watching an episode of To Catch a Predator.
Oh my God, you're disgusting.
Yeah, where it's like,
I didn't mean it that way.
I didn't know your screen name meant
I certainly did not mean it that way. First of all, he says, hey, Nicole.
Her name's Noelle.
Right.
Because, hey,
that's me, and that's going to happen.
I kind of didn't get a chance to look at you. How about you get in front of the camera? And I was like,
I didn't. I saw one quarter of her face. I didn't get a look at our new intern. I like to meet all. I would have done today. I think I made Rofo do a full spin.
Yes,
when we hired him.
And so, Mike, you know what? Yes. It's time we address that too. That was no less creepy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, that was intended to be creepy. Anyway, we're delighted to have a new intern on staff here. It's very exciting.
Yeah, and she's already hard at work.
Yes, go get her.
Thank learning you. The ropes. And now, without further ado, I was told by Mr. Santana that he had some sort of surprise,
a wonderful surprise
for me at the beginning of the show. Is it for all of us or just for me?
And okay, if you can help me, Rob, you're great. You're the wordsmith here. I'm posting on Facebook and I'm sharing something that has to do with Mike, has to do with the entire show. And I want to write, there's talent, and then there's talent. You know what I'm trying to say, right?
Right. Okay. Well, the first, if you want to write that, you write in all. First of all, it's ther because it's,
I did that. Thank you. Appreciate that.
And then there's, and then go all caps. Talent.
Okay. So
capital
T-A-L-E-N-T. Okay. Let me put that.
And then probably.
It's driving me crazy. Can we get to the surprise, for God's sake?
The surprise is that he knows how to spell theirs.
There's apostrophe S and there's apostrophe S.
Yeah, because theirs is ther apostrophe S E R E apostrophe S.
You know what a colon is?
No. I didn't put a colon. I put an exclamation mark.
Oh, okay.
Does that work?
It does, depending on how you go with it.
But does it work?
It can work.
There's talent and there's talent.
Okay, I'm with you.
Okay.
All right.
All right, and I'm going to post to Facebook.
Hooking up words and making them function.
Oh, my God. Now I got to play.
So I'm going to play this now, all right, if you don't mind.
All right,
now, Mike. On YouTube now, you did this a couple of weeks ago, and usually when projects come up on the Mike O'Mara Show, they either are executed. As of late, they've been executed, or they go in that black hole of we don't know what happened.
Exactly.
Right?
Got a lot of ideas, a lot of stuff we throw up against the wall. Some of it gets down the disposal.
For your listening pleasure, Mr. Mike O'Mara and his rendition of The Simpsons.
Oh.
Smithers, now that Harry Shearer is no longer able to do my voice, we have to find a substitute. Do you have any names?
The name here is Mike O'Mara, sir.
Excellent.
You asked me to brief you on his educational qualifications, Mr. Burns.
Yes. Bring in Principal Skinner to discuss his qualifications.
He barely made it out of the eighth grade, Mr. Burns.
Yes, but will that affect his compensation?
I don't believe so, sir. He's not able to even read a contract.
Well, he sounds like a perfect candidate. Is he a Republican?
Count on it, sir.
Smithers, what about his religious background?
I'm glad you asked, sir. We're going to bring Mr. Flanders in right now to discuss his religious beliefs.
Well, buenos ding-dong-diddly-deus, senor. I'll tell you right now, he's a religious man. I believe he's Reformed Nazi Quaker.
Reformed Nazi Quaker? That's not one of those cults, is it, Flanders?
Well, I've never seen him at my church, sir.
Have you ever had the opportunity to worship with him?
Oh, no, diddly-o. I just see him on the street in the neighborhood once in a while to say hi, diddly-eye, neighbor.
What about you, Reverend Lovejoy?
Well, I'll tell you that when I see him on the street, it's always me feeling good about myself. I think he's a fine, upstanding citizen.
And a long, long time ago, in a land far, far away, he used to drive a school bus. Wow, man!
Thank you, Otto.
All in all, he's a very upstanding citizen, sir.
Yes, but will he work for peanuts?
Less than that, sir. I believe he'll work for cashews.
Well, Principal Skinner, Otto, Otto... how did you get in here?
Hey, man, I got a friend in the mailroom. Whoa!
Release the hounds.
This bulletin just in. That was the scene in Mr. Burns' office. Mike O'Mara, given the job, is the new voice of Mr. Burns, Otto, Principal Skinner, Reverend Lovejoy, and Ned Flanders. This is Kent Brockman reporting live.
Yes. Well, nice editing, boys.
Now,
you should you should see the video component of
it. Yeah, so do me a favor. Yeah. You're on your computer right there, right? It's in front of you?
Yeah.
All right, just go to, you can go to your my Facebook page if you want.
Let me get out of my soundboard first.
You can go to YouTube. Yeah, you have to see, and we've always kind of played around with Mac being on the low man on the pole here.
Right.
He might have, and Rofo has done some great work. Great, great work.
It's, you know what it is? It's becoming a horse race.
Right?
Yeah, it is. It,
did the Mike O'Mara show, is it on the Mike O'Mara show page?
Yes, it is. It is the featured video. So, what I love about this, and if you're out there listening to this, please find the video. We'll have it on our Facebook pages. We'll have it on YouTube and share it. Because it really, what I love working about with Mike is that.
Start that again.
What I love. What I love about working with Mike, yeah. I'm so super excited about this, is that there are times...
I have a video. This is a typical YouTube page that I always get here. I have a video from 1 year ago.
No. You have a different view. It's the featured video. Just go to videos. Okay. You'll find it.
Let me go to the page.
Let me give you a compliment. Let me give you a compliment.
Yeah. I'm watching. I'm sorry. I'm playing through my board.
It's fine. So my point is this. Is that once in a while, and I'll say this, at least it happens 3 or 4 times a week, and I don't talk about it.
Right. Oh, my God. I cannot believe the effort that you... Carla asked me last night about that, and I said the same thing Oscar said at the beginning of the show. I said, yeah, we do a lot of different stuff, and it goes away. I'm not doing this. I did this because we had a lot of people that listened to the show say, you do those Simpson voices, give it a crack. And then I said, Oscar, let's throw this forward. This is fantastic. I don't have any designs on going out there and taking over an American original Harry Shearer's job. But I did want to do the impressions for the listeners, and this is a win-win-win.
Well, the thing that dazzled me and that I did not anticipate.
I didn't even mention anything. Let me finish my statement.
Oh, I thought you had.
Cut me off. No, you're not even listening to me, for God's sakes.
Is someone talking?
is that Mike, he just has this like amazing talent to sit down and just knock something out that would take anyone else in this business. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anyone else that can do this. It would take them hours to do. Mm-hmm. Mike sat down and cranked out all these characters within
the raw audio that I worked with was 8 minutes.
Eight minutes.
From the time we pressed record to the time we hit stop.
It was so quick, I said... How does he do that? And you just like, you ran out because you were going to Maine. I said,
oh, the end, it was so great. At the end of the tape, he said, is that it, boys?
Yeah. And I said, and those are the moments where at a certain point, I'm just like, okay, did I forget anything about, and then once you leave, I sit there, I'm like, this is why he's so great.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I also have to say, when stuff is edited, when Rob edits audio and he knows how to edit stuff, that's, I know that it's going to be taken care of. So it was a rough cut. But the thing is, when I did this, I did it because, you know, I'll just throw it out there because some listeners had mentioned the whole deal about Harry Shearer. And I've done Simpsons characters on shows for years, and I thought it would be fun. I never thought that everybody would be putting this kind of effort forward. What a beautiful, beautiful thing
about
they did. What a nice present for Thursday's show. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you,
Two things
guys.
About the editing I realized. I was having it I had a hard time making it sound like The Simpsons. And I realized the characters never talk on top of each other. There's no overlap, and they never pause for laughter. And that's why I was able to try and ape the way The Simpsons sounds. But what Mac did that dazzled me, and this is going to be such a treat for people, because this goes back to when I was an intern for you. I love watching you do voices.
Yes.
Because
right.
of the way you become the character. Mac right. has a little window in the corner of the video of you doing the voices.
Yeah.
And it's like a look behind the scenes.
So
you've got to watch this, folks.
So much
this
fun.
Is something that we're all really proud of.
And it's funny, I said to Carla, speaking about this, all came about because I saw another guy online that was doing lines as the characters from The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I told you guys I didn't want to do that. That to me is just that's not fun. I equate when I do impressions and I'm trying to do silly stuff, I'm doing my own content, even though I'm doing somebody else's voice. Most of the time, I will only use content from something like The Shawshank Redemption with Morgan Freeman to support a bit that I'm doing. Do you understand? Does that make sense to you?
You know, that's what first drew Patton to you many years ago, and he's told me this before. He said that you take the ability, anyone can do a voice, but what Mike does with the voice is what makes him special. He puts people in situations that they're not normally in.
I saw a guy doing that online, and I said I didn't want to do that because he said the same deal where Harry Shearer is not going to be the voice. Here's my audition tape for Harry Shearer. And he's doing all the lines, and that to me, when I look at great impressionists, like David Fry or John Biner or someone like that, you are looking at them doing a bit. When you look at somebody who's just mimicking someone else who's done the original work brilliantly by Harry Shearer, you're looking at the same type of people that are celebrity lookalikes.
Yeah,
and I'm
exactly.
an impressionist,
exactly.
but I hate celebrity lookalikes. And that is the vocal version of being a celebrity lookalike.
That's so
and
great.
I do it because I'm not going to get the look. Harry Shearer is great. The impressions are fun to listen to, but Harry Shearer is. I said this to my wife the other night. I said, the American original that is Harry Shearer, I find it almost offensive to think of sliding in there and doing those voices. They did it for Mel Blanc, didn't they, Rob, years ago?
They used several people. They tried to use his son, and then they realized that there was no one person that could do all of Mel Blanc's voices. So
right.
they got several people that
do
it, and they now have the official fake voices for him. And you know what? They're all right.
They're okay.
But they're not Mel Blanc.
But for the listeners and for somebody to see a video, you guys hit it out of the park. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you to Mac as well.
Mac
gets
way
the lion's share of this, as well as Mr. O'Mara.
I will actually, Mac is not here today, right?
No,
shockingly, no.
Well, that's unfortunate for him.
No, it was his day off today.
Won't be able to thank him. Won't be able to thank him ever. He was here today.
He gets approximately 30 minutes of good favor.
I called him this morning. And I said, look, you knocked it out of the park. Great work. And Mike, to be fair to you, we break balls all the time. It was nice to have something to really celebrate what you do. And also what we do here on the show.
Exactly.
So, that's fun.
Appreciate
and Mac gets a lot of credit for that. And if he had been in studio, he would have gotten a thank you. And since he's hearing this now, Mac, as good as the work was, remember, DGH. Don't get happy!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
And me and my wife, we were in Nashville last summer, and we went out on the lake with some of our friends, and we were like floating around the water, and there was a guy in a boat like right next to us, and my wife was like, oh, that's my ex-boyfriend in that boat. Now, I didn't know who he was, so she didn't have to say that at all, you know? She was just basically like, are you having fun? Because I like to put a stop to that and make you stare at this guy the rest of the day. So I'm like staring at him, and then I look at my wife, and she's staring at him, and I feel like she's staring at him to see what her life would be like if she didn't marry me. So I started staring at him because I was like, I'm gonna see what my life would be like if I didn't marry her, you know? We were putting so much pressure on this guy, and we stared at him for a while. He did nothing exciting at all, and you know, we looked back at each other and just realized, you know what? We don't have a boat. That's the only difference. my friends were like, you should have went and tried to fight him. Why didn't you go fight him? And I was like, well, I would have had to swim over to that fight. So I don't know how intimidating that is for a guy to see a head in a life jacket floating his way. If he's in there, I'm never going to get in. I would need his help. I'd be like, could you help me into this boat? I can't tell you why, but I really need in this boat.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Coming to you live from the Cappy Piper Studios in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are on the air and online worldwide. Our show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. Our show today brought to you by Vistaprint. We love Vistaprint.
Oh, the best.
It is totally old school, but it is still the best way to get your business promoted is to go out, shake a hand, and hand out a business card. We do it all the time. At Vistaprint.com right now, you can get 500 business cards for just $9.99, and all you have to do is enter the promo code TMOS at checkout. That's $9.99 for 500 business cards. This is the best deal out there, and it's so easy to make great-looking cards. Pick from tons of industry-specific designs, add your info, and you're done, or you can upload your own artwork or pictures. We've all made cards at Vistaprint, and they always turn out great. I hand out my TMOS cards all the time. It's a classy move, and it's fun. It's fun to do that, especially if you got one that's kind of unique. If you want to go all out, upgrade to their signature stock and add fancy finish or even raised print. If you're not happy, Vistaprint will make it right. They've done that for me. They will do that for you, people. 500 business cards on sale for just $9.99. There's never been a better time to professionally promote your business. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code TMOS to get this offer and do it now. I want to thank both of you guys for those kind words during the opening of the show. That made me feel really, really nice. And
oh, it's fun,
Oscar,
to be a part of a project
like
that.
Thank you very much for that. That's a lot of fun. And that's the reason I got into doing what I do, is because I do silly voices, and I've done them since I was 5 years old. I don't talk about it a lot, but I was doing Jimmy Cagney for my mom and dad on the patio, back in the 50s.
Well, of course.
But it's like the 60s. I was born in 1950.
When Mike was a kid, Cagney was still, big box office draw.
Yeah, that's how old I am. I was, I was watching
still
Chaplin. You dirty rat, you killed my brother, you dirty rat. And I don't think he ever said that.
No,
I don't think he ever said that.
I don't think he said you dirty rat, but it's no. What's great is when you get that brother,
right?
Because
right.
He even does that when he's George M. Cohan in Yankee
exactly.
Doodle Dandy.
So if Jimmy Cagney and Betty Davis were performing in a movie, he said, Betty, you dirty rat, you killed my brother. What do you have to say about that?
I never killed your brother. Never did it. Jim, you're out of your mind.
Rob does 60-plus Betty Davis, which is my favorite Betty Davis.
You don't know what you're talking about.
And he ramps into it, too. It gets better as he goes along. That is fantastic. Oh, my God. Well, welcome to the show. Whoa. Up here in the great state of Maine, still adjusting. My son is still adjusting with a 4:40 awakening time today. 3:30 to bed, 6:30 to bed last night, and 4:40 a.m.
God,
this
he doesn't
morning.
Even get to watch Wheel of Fortune.
What did you call ferberizing Oscar? Because Carla was practicing the tough love.
It's when you let babies cry it out.
Is it named after a guy named Ferber?
No, you just don't run over and pick them up when they start whining or crying.
But what or who is Ferber? Is it a guy?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
I'll check.
That's Emil Faber.
My sister.
It's James Ferber, Mike.
She had run
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Both of her kids, I would go and visit, and they'd be crying. And she said, don't get them. Don't pay attention. We're Ferberizing. And I said, well, what is that? She said, well, we got to teach them to deal with their emotions and get through
it. Well, we did that 4:40, Carla. I heard the baby. Carla heard me stir, and Carla says, do not go down there. Do not get up. We are letting him go to at least 5 o'clock. He has to learn that. So I had to sit there, and it just sucked.
Who really is Richard Ferber?
Oh.
Richard Ferber is a pediatrician and the founder and former director of the Center for Pediatric Sleep Disorders at Children's Hospital in Boston. He's a wicked famous doctor.
Okay,
His publication of his book, Solve Your Child's Sleep Problem, in 1985, he's been known as a leading and controversial expert on children's sleep. And that is, let them cry. So it's Richard Ferber, or Dick.
Well, they're saying that they, it affects them emotionally, and I don't know whether that's true or not, because, you know, really, do any of us remember, you know, when we were that age? But the thing is, letting him go to five, that kind of has worked. We are modified Ferber people. We actually let him blow it out once in a while, and the 5 o'clock, he's not really going to go back, but he lay down at about 4:45. We got 15 more minutes out of him, and that was good enough for us, and then we got him up, and then the day begins, and it's just...
It's daylight, though, because of your northern exposure, right?
Poor man.
It's brilliant daylight. It's brilliant daylight, like 4:30. The sun is coming up. It's bright. It's bright out. That's the way it works.
The thing I remember about the kids sleeping is that Julia was a champion sleeper, just like her mom. Robert, a little slower, but the first time Julia slept through the night, you know, it used to be, you know, when they start, you get up about every 3 hours.
Yeah.
And we put her down, and then it was 7 o'clock, and Carrie and I both sat up and went, because we assumed she was dead. Because we hadn't heard from her through the night. And we both, like, ran into her nursery, and she's just asleep. And it's the greatest thing
snoozing
in the world. Yeah, and then there's boys. Maybe it's a boy thing.
He is a he's such a joy. I said it on one of the shows this week that, you know, he's I enjoy being around him and just hanging around. And I'm also I'll give you the many moods of me, Oscar especially. You'll track with this. This is exactly
I've heard him on the phone.
Yeah, you know what? I've read it in a novel. Richard Ferber wrote about it.
I'm bringing in show and tell for tomorrow's show.
Oh,
and,
good.
We're going to. I'm going to show you what I bought at the grocery store. Hint, hint. It is an alcoholic beverage. I discovered this, and much fun ensued afterwards. I had had
Mike,
about,
to be fair, vanilla extract is not a beverage.
Yes, I'm Kitty Dukakis. I had had about 1.5, and the neighbors were enjoying some football, I think, outside, and they live very close by.
The Kennedys.
It's a young couple, and they're making a bit of a racket, but it's, you know, they're having fun. It's a fun racket. Then later on, because this is the Maine woods, the ATV came out, and it was an ATV. I don't know if it belonged to them or it belonged to somebody else, but this was a souped up ATV, and I'm like, and I'm laughing, and I and the mood went from that's so much fun to hear that. And the baby has been put down at 6:30. This is about 8:30. All right?
Okay.
And you're hearing, and I hear Carl, and I go from, oh man, it's good. I'm like, and I go from saying, I think I'm going to just walk over there. And she says, no, not cool. Not cool. That's their little thing they're doing. You're not invited. So I'm just going to walk over and say hi. This looks like fun. And I'm just totally curious, George, about it.
Sure.
You know how I would be at a bar if somebody's having fun? I want to be at that table. I want to be in the middle of it. It's a personality flaw, in my opinion.
I don't know if it's
is.
A flaw. It's just an aspect of you. You want to be part of a good time.
Well, it's heightened when there's just a little adult beverage.
Understood.
And, you know, as soon as that baby went down last night, we are there. Bottle open, glug, glug, glug.
Well,
we're having
day,
a cocktail.
Right?
We're having an adult beverage.
You got to blow off steam.
Sure.
I went from being, you know, that's so fun. Man, it'd be fun. It'd be fun. And then, and I hear Carla go, oh, what? They woke the baby up. And I went from, I want to participate in the party, to, sons of bitches, don't they have any idea? That's my son that you woke up. And then I'm going to go over there and say, I'm just going to say that we have a 22-month-old sleeping. She's like, no. She said, you're all over the place. You're being bipolar. You're being completely bipolar. You wanted to join the party.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see the looks. I see the looks. Yeah. I know I'm being bipolar. But that's me. And
Bruce
then,
Banner.
Yeah. Shorts ripped open.
Like clockwork. At 9 o'clock, all the cars pulled out of the driveway, and they were done for the evening.
And you know, 9 o'clock is
they're salt of the earth, hardworking, wonderful people who we like a lot.
That's a sensible time. How late does it stay light? I know it gets bright early, but how late does it stay?
Probably around that time, it was, you know, the sun was going bye-bye.
Not every neighborhood you live in, you know, has to abide by old folks' hours. Like, you got used to just living in a neighborhood where everybody...
I totally did, Oscar.
Right?
I completely agree.
And you know, real life, 9 o'clock is pretty real.
It's early.
Yeah,
but the point I'm trying to make here is the only thing... If I'm up by myself, if you know, we don't... Or the little guy's even in a different part of the house, and he doesn't get disturbed and doesn't wake up, because I just... It's my kid.
Yep.
I've got a fierce... I love my daughters. Mm-hmm. I adore my daughters. This is a weird, different. Rob, you can speak to it.
I can.
It's a different bond, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it is overprotective to a point where when you look back
painful.
On it, when you look back on it, even today, but in a couple weeks, you're going to look back on that and you're going to say, why the hell did I feel that way? Because
it's painful, overprotective.
It's instinctual,
also,
is what it is.
I remember Mike, I would say it was like 4 a.m. on his porch in Manassas, yelling at people because they were going home at the top of his lungs.
That's right. That's right.
And then saying,
you're
no, just one more drink.
I know. Yeah,
why are you going to bed?
Yes. Yes. The back in the restaurant days.
No, it was when the restaurant was closed.
Oh, no.
And we were hanging out.
Too.
Then
yeah,
too.
Well,
yeah.
So what about the babies around
your
neighborhood?
I don't like the
party
to end. I don't like
the
party.
Well, the weird thing is that
4 a.m.
Well, 4 a.m. now he's getting up. 4 a.m. is always a key time for him. It's either the end of the day or the beginning.
Jerky. When you leave, try not to make too much. Basically, telling Jerky to blow out the, you know, to just make as much noise as you can leaving the neighborhood.
Hey, you may want to coast out of the neighborhood because you don't want to make any noise.
Oh, Johnny Hipracrino. Thank you. We'll take a break, come back with more. I have a wonderful story of a meltdown in the grocery store.
Oh.
I did not break out my video camera, but I could have. We will take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Tony Perkins.
Hi, I'm Count Basie.
You wish you were Count Basie.
You're right.
Yeah, but we're going to talk all that jazz on this week's edition of the show. We talk about what a great night we had seeing Sarah Partridge sing.
That's easy to talk about.
Yeah, it was a great, great night. We got to do a little comedy.
Yeah, very little.
That's true. And Gary brings mistakes with words. It's all on the current episode. Be sure to subscribe to The Tony Perkins Show on iTunes.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Hey, that's the birthday boy, Mike.
Happy birthday, Gary Stein.
It's Gary Stein's birthday?
110 today.
Well, hold on a second. We got a special someone wants to come in and wish him a happy birthday. Let's bring him in
right
now.
Oh, who is it?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Gary Stein. Happy birthday to you. You know, he's got a birthday. He's going to go out and have a piece of cake. He's going to go get his favorite dinner. He's going to thank his wife, Sarah Partridge, who's beautiful, and he's not. And they're going to have a fantastic time, and maybe they're going to go back to the bedroom and have a birthday together.
Jackie Mason.
Nice.
It's our new feature, the Jackie Mason birthday greeting.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Is there anyone better than your dad?
No.
Face it. He probably made you the man you are today. Chances are he even taught you how to shave. My Harry's, I love my Harry's, and Dad, your dad needs Harry's
yes.
as well. How do the burns look today? I'm giving you the side.
Move the headphones a bit.
Yeah.
They're getting shorter and shorter.
Oh.
You know what? You look better without them.
Yeah, well,
I like them paired back.
I'm trimming them with my Harry's, and I love that. Listen, I want you to get a shave plan for your father with Harry's. Remember the TMOS code, and you'll save $5. You'll be giving Dad the gift of never having to buy razors at a store ever again, never having to overpay, and getting better razors in the process. The shave plan ships high-quality razors straight to your door for as little as $3 a month, and deliveries are customized to your shaving routine so you never run out of blades. Rob is on the program,
it's
and he
fantastic.
Loves it.
I love getting the box. You get the blades. You get the shaving cream.
Saves you time.
And you never have to buy
money.
It. It's always there for you, buddy.
You can modify or cancel your plan at any time. A Harry's Shave Plan is the stress-free way to give a great gift this year with no lines and no hassle. What a great Father's Day gift.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Don't wait. Today is the last day to pay ground shipping on your Father's Day gift for the holiday. Harry's Shave Plan is already a great value, and if you get additional savings, if you enter our code TMOS at checkout, just go to harrys.com and enter the code TMOS at checkout for $5 off your first shipment when you sign Dad up for a shave plan. Remember the code TMOS will save you $5 on a gift that will last a lifetime. harrys.com and the code TMOS. Give Dad the gift of a better shave. So I mentioned to you that I was in the grocery store. We went to town yesterday. Town is Bangor, Maine.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What about what's the store that we shopped at last time? The
one Hannaford.
Now Hannaford is a great grocery store.
We
I
went
love
to
grocery
Bangor because I had to get some cables for the show.
I see.
And we actually had a Hannaford next door, so we went to the Hannaford in Bangor. And
it's crazy that you go to a grocery store in Maine and there's like an aisle that has ketchup and mustard and then potato chips. Oh, yeah. And this is the aisle with hard liquor.
Yeah.
And you just go to the grocery store and you buy a bottle of Crown. Right. It's like I thought Mike was playing a trick on me.
They don't mess around.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Rob walked down that aisle. I remember that when I said, Rob, what are you doing over there? Rob. Rob? Rob, come to. Snap to it, boy. Rob. Oh, he's standing in front of Crown Royal. Yes, wonderful. But
so we're going to need a bigger cart.
You know, as far as booze, though, in these grocery stores, and we'll talk about it tomorrow a little bit, but
yeah.
So many different craft brews, specialty wines.
Yeah, look at you.
It is I think at one point I may have said yesterday, alcohol, my old friend, I'm so glad you're now again a part of my life.
It's so
Thank
true.
You. Isn't Thank it you very,
like,
very much.
Isn't yes. it like meeting a complicated and wonderful smart person?
It's a festival yes. of
because
beers.
Because alcohol, you can never truly know it all. Yeah. There's always something to discover.
Always something exciting and different. And the store was full of it. And it was not actually crowded in the grocery store. The little guy, because he's been on a weird schedule, one of the things they do at Publix grocery stores, and they also do it at the Hannaford, they have in the bakery section a little cookie stand where little babies get cookies, and he likes cookies.
Is it covered?
I'm telling
Please
this story,
it's
and I'm
covered.
I'm thinking, yeah, it's totally covered.
Like a plastic dome,
like a pen.
It's got a plastic dome. It's in a little, it's in a little aquarium.
Yeah,
a little cookie aquarium.
Sneeze on it.
Yeah.
And I go in. I realize that we are truly setting a very bad example with him because we are now, because he's been fussy the last couple of days, we're definitely using food as a tool. And that means that, the odds are that by eighth grade, he'll be 435 pounds.
You know, it's something that Carrie still uses on me. So it's
Stop whining, Rob. Here's a hot dog. Take it right now.
You want chili? Does Daddy want chili? Yes.
So we walk around the Hannaford, and we get the usual crap that we eat, which is so dull and boring every single day.
Like what?
Organic fat-free milk.
Oh, God.
Organic eggs.
Well, they're good.
Eggs are going up, by the way, in price.
Eggs, everything. Well, you go to the grocery store now, everything's going up. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's insane when you really think about people that are out there struggling and trying to feed their families, and you see what the prices are on average at the grocery store. It's getting, and they get you because no one questions it. Everybody just kind of rolls along.
It? How can you?
You can't. You have no choice. But do you agree that people just kind of roll around?
Yeah.
It all depends on where you are in life. So I don't do the grocery shopping in my household because I'm a man and I don't do that.
Right.
I work.
Must be so nice to be a man.
And I let the lady in my life take care of that.
Sure.
But I pay for the groceries.
And do you feel that she's capable of handling this?
Yeah, because she'll come back and she'll say, look, one, I didn't get you this because this wasn't on sale, and I respect that she understands what's on sale and what isn't. Right?
Has she had any real miscues since she was making the Windex?
A throwback and a callback to another show. My girlfriend decided that she wanted to make her own detergents, and that didn't really work out for me. I said, we're brand name Windex.
I think it shows initiative. I think Shannon showed a lot of initiative by doing that.
She did, but the whole place smelled like vinegar.
So there may be too much quinoa in our grocery list, but outside of that,
it's very simple.
But she sees the prices. That's how I know the price of eggs went up, because she said, I can't believe how much eggs cost these days.
I don't even process it that way. I process it when I get to the checkout.
The totals.
I do it the dumb way. And I'm sure, Rob, you were a checker at Safeway. You know what I'm talking about. Where people will get there and go, what?
Yep.
What?
Did you charge me twice?
Yeah.
How much were those peaches?
It was always old people.
Yeah, and what
like
they
me?
Don't realize is they'll say, I think I'm going to buy myself a peach. And it's the middle of January, and peaches are $2.99 a pound. So every peach is like $6. And there's, how's that? How's that? You know what's really expensive? And
you bought a $7 peach, dumbass.
You know what's going to really get to you guys up there? Did you read that lobsters are really expensive this year?
Yeah, they are.
Because of the cold water, they're not coming inshore. And so
that sounds like a farce. Like that, that is big lobster coming down,
big crustacean,
and making sure that they make their money.
I don't doubt it. There's a lot of it.
The water's too cold.
You know what I can tell you about the lobster lobby? The lobster price is they've figured it out.
In what
you
way?
Don't go back in the day. You could drive down the street, go one place and get one price, go the next place, and then meet the guy that sells them out of his garage and get the greatest price. Where that does not happen anymore. They have figured it out.
Like
now,
gas
God love
stations,
them.
Right?
They figured out the drill. They know how to do that. But there are huge articles up here, and I've read them all, about the price of lobsters, and the cold winter apparently has affected the the water temperature and the molting season for these lobsters. But I agree. Now that you guys mentioned that, I think it's one giant scam.
It's open in the back room. Said this year we're all going up $2. Everybody $2 a pound.
Now the price of lobsters is pretty uniform as far as the way they sell it to you at seafood stores and grocery stores. Where there is a wide differential is at restaurants.
Oh,
where
clearly
restaurants know that they can, you know, they can pump it up and they can screw you.
Let me ask you about this because you introduced me to something the last time I was in Maine that I had never seen before: a lobster pound.
Right.
Where you go, and it is just an entire building based on the growing and selling of lobsters.
I've given up lobsters. They're looking for homes.
You will probably get a slight markup as somewhere else. You will get a slightly better price at a lobster pound in most cases, but it is no longer the way it was. You know.
Nothing. Pound.
What did he say? I didn't hear him. What did he say? What?
One more time, Oscar. It'll work this time. Go ahead.
When you guys kept on saying lobster pound, it was like a dog pound. Like they're looking for homes. Nothing.
I'm glad you made him repeat it.
What it is, Mike, you know, I think you're really going to enjoy tonight's dinner. Tonight's dinner is a rescue.
If you don't take these lobsters home, they're going to die. They're going to be euthanized.
This
we are going to euthanize these lobsters.
Had all its shots.
We're going to take it and we're going to kill it. That's all there is to it. No, it's they've got them in the grocery store. I don't like lobsters in the grocery store because they really look like they've been through it. Those poor sons of bitches. I
like puppy mills. You're like,
I like them at a pound. At a pound, you usually are going to get lobsters that came right off the boat.
They need a second
chance. Usually going to get that situation. But yeah, they've had all sorts of articles, and you're probably right.
Yeah.
It's probably some guys like in a boardroom going, okay, what are we going to justify? You know, it's like the oil.
What can we get? That's what they're thinking. What? How much can we get?
Well, let me look.
And it's like the Gordon's fisherman comes out, and he's like the mayor, and he comes out in his
yellow hat.
Yeah, big yellow hat. He goes, okay, this is what we're going to do this season.
Let me see
and
here.
Instead of a gavel, they have a lobster claw.
Yeah, a big one. Yeah. A classic bronze lobster claw.
How much of this do you think is real, and how much of this is just because I came to the state and I like lobster? Maine's lobster catch brought in an estimated $456.9 million to fishermen in 2014.
Oof.
That's an all-time high that was driven by the largest one-year increase price per pound in more than 50 years. That was last year.
Interesting.
This year, it could be even more. This year, it actually could be
and Mike,
more.
And, what's really sad is that the lobster pounds are overflowing.
Hello, my name is Dick Queasy. Are you aware that there are unclaimed lobsters each and every year? Won't you help us, please? Send a $6.99 donation to the local lobster pound so these poor devils don't get euthanized by the end of the day. That's right. Look at the face of that thing. Look at his tentacles.
I don't have a face.
Look at his little antenna. Look at his cute little claw. Jesus Christ, can't you find it in your goddamn hat to take care of this lobster? Please, come over right now. We'll throw it in a styrofoam container for you and then take him home. Give him to the kids. Put him in the tub and let him play with him. It's great. It's better than one of them plastic goddamn toys they have. Please, help the lobster. I'm Dick Queasy for the local lobster pound. That is too goddamn funny. I'm trying to find it.
The claws of an angel.
The LSPCA.
Each lobster kept in its own little enclosure with an inside pat and an outside pat so he can go out and do his business.
The lobster is free to run and dick.
Vigil! Vigil, where the hell is the lobster walker? We need the lobster walker. It's time for these lobsters have to go out. They're raising a hell of a ruckus. They always bark extra loud when people come to see them in their cages.
Barking!
All right, hold on just a second. I'm going to read here we go. The lobster pound.
I've always made the point.
I adopt the lobster that's the shy lobster. Not the overeager lobster. Right. The lobster that's in the corner.
Yeah.
This is
not
dated
the
April.
Hanging off the cage.
This is dated April 22nd. The unusually cold winter may finally be over, but the Maine lobster industry is still feeling its effects. The current wholesale market price of lobster is up to an average of $9 a pound, even higher in some places. Those high prices could last into the midsummer season. That's convenient,
yes,
isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm. Kind of like gasoline.
While the past winter did not decrease lobster populations, it chilled the water long enough to keep the crustaceans in one place, according to lobster biologists at the University of Maine. They say when the
great
water
gig.
Is...
Oh, yeah.
Hi there.
When the water is still below 40 degrees, the lobsters don't move around as much and are less interested in finding food, including the bait inside lobster traps. Peak lobster fishing season usually begins the end of June when the lobsters start molting and growing to market size. So I didn't have it right. Lowering prices as they become more abundant. If the water takes a while longer to warm up and it's been cold up here, lobsters won't start molting until the end of July, beginning of August. And biologists and fishermen said what is being caught now are hard shell lobsters left over from last season.
Wow.
So that's
but you know what
that
means? If that theory is true, there could be like a lobster glut come
Ooh.
September, and they'll be giving them away.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll
no, because then the water will be too warm, and then they have to raise the price again.
No. They'll come out of the water, and they'll be ready to eat.
Well, speaking of hard-shell lobsters, I'll tell you, I ran into one yesterday at the grocery store. Wait till I tell you the story about this bitch.
Nice.
Anyway, it was a great day, and you never know when you're going to find some sort of violent altercation. We'll tell you all about that coming up next.
The wind blew some luck in my direction. I caught it in my hands today. Tricky French connection. You winked and gave me your
okay. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, this segment of the program brought to you by Sleep Number Beds. Summer is finally here, and you want to have the energy to enjoy every moment of it. That's the second day in a row that I've said summer.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yes, I think it's not a glitch. It's not a glitch on your
audio. No, what it is, it's
system.
It's the cold ocean waters, Mike.
Thanks to my Sleep Number Bed, I wake up feeling great and so well rested. I love my Sleep Number Bed.
It's the best.
When I'm in it, when I'm allowed to sleep in it, when I don't have a 22-month-old screaming at 4 o'clock in the morning, I sleep beautifully. I could easily have gone till 8 a.m. because it's a Sleep Number Bed. But unfortunately, I'm in the greatest bed in the world, and I'm not able to use it because I am awakened at 4:40 with somebody going, boat, 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 boat. You have to go to a Sleep Number store, people. That's the point I'm trying to make here. It's the only place you'll find Sleep Number beds with Sleep IQ technology. My Sleep Number bed lets me choose the comfort and support that's just right for me. And right now, my setting is an 85 and Carlos is a 65. Sleep IQ lets you know how to sleep, everybody. Nothing to wear. I don't even worry about hitting the sheets and going right out to sleep and then waking up with my back feeling fantastic. There's nothing to turn on, nothing to wear. All you have to do is sleep. Sleep Number setting 85. Carlos is a 65. Come in right now and discover the Sleep Number bed and Sleep IQ technology and save from $500 to $650 on a Sleep Number P6 mattress set. You can know better sleep. Find your Sleep Number setting today at any of the 450 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. Thank you, Sleep Number. Welcome back to the show. So I don't know how we got on the whole lobster tangent there.
Because of the expense of groceries. That's what it was. Hey,
and Oscar talking about the pound.
You're
That's
being
still
built.
Making me laugh.
Yeah, he's a, you know what? He's a rube.
You know what you're doing there with your boiled red skin and your big hard shell? You're a rube.
Your black eyes and your dangly antennas.
You know what you are with your flapping tail and your multiple legs? You're a rube. That is so stupid. So we get to
Hannibal Lecter talking to a lobster.
I ate his tail with some corn on the cob
and butter
and a nice Chianti. Oh Jesus! What are we doing? What are we doing here? But anyway, in the Hannaford, and no troubles at all. Nobody, hardly anybody in there.
You know what? It's a great outfit.
I'm not paying attention,
no.
And we get up to the front,
And this lady, apparently, the way I understood it, because I was looking in the other direction, all I see out of the corner of my eye, well, then fine. Then I'll go over here if that's the way it's going to be. It doesn't matter. You were here the whole time. And she's talking to what appeared to be the bagger, the guy that is bagging the groceries.
Courtesy clerk, Mike. Courtesy clerk.
And I turn back to Carla. And Carla, like almost audibly goes, what a bitch.
Wow.
And she doesn't hear it. But the woman, how shall I describe her? She has stringy, almost waist length white hair. She is not super fat, but she's not thin either. She appears to be in her mid-60s.
A lifetime of bad eating produces that build.
She is a bit of a hag. She has a witchy quality to her. And normally, you know me, I don't mind a little altercation once in a while.
No.
But I'm disarmed here, and I am disarmed because I don't know the exact circumstances, because I think I was tending to my son, and Carla knows all the circumstances. Apparently, this woman cut in front of Carla, and they did that little move where they said, I'll take somebody over here. And because Carla was closest, we moved over there, and the lady went bat-ass.
Oh, so this altercation was actually when you're checking out.
Yes, when we were checking out.
And so did she sort of swoop in ahead of Carla in line?
She swooped in, apparently. I didn't see all of it.
On her broom?
And then we met, because she came out in front, and there was a long, you know, somebody had 5 million groceries in front of us.
Sure.
We got the benefit of, I'll take somebody over here.
That's the greatest.
And it's one of those moves where you just pivot your cart to the left, and you're in the next line. And then apparently she was hating this.
Well, she had a bad day just the previous day. Someone dropped a house on her sister.
One of the lines in her meltdown was, I understand. I said, you could have opened that when I asked you to. So I think she may have
requested,
asked the guy to open the lane that they opened now, after she couldn't get to it. But
you know,
she went nuts. It was ridiculous.
Technically, it's policy when you open a line, you take the person further in the line that's, you know,
oh,
closest
really?
In. I believe that's in the handbook.
I thought it was next.
No, but what happens is, I bet if she requested a lane to be opened, they were pissed at her. And
but
they
Rob, here's the protocol. I think the protocol is, technically, in order for her to be taken next, she would have had to back up. And
if she was already engaged, then she stays there.
She was already in the chute.
Barely.
Maybe, I'm talking maybe she
did
put,
she have anything on the conveyor belt?
I think maybe she had put one of her bitch breakfast items on the belt.
And they only sell
that
at Hannaford. That's a store brand. Bitch breakfast.
Yeah, bitch breakfast. Yeah. Bitch breakfast for the modern hag. There you go.
If she even has put one item on the belt, then I would say you guys are in the right. Absolutely.
Well, we weren't involved in the conflict.
I know.
As a matter of fact, we were, there are two things that happened. I didn't know the circumstances.
Okay.
All I do is I see this woman getting apoplectic about this situation. And she's just going, and I'm fresh off the heels of watching that pesky Walmart video where the two people and the kid are fighting in the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, on a side note, the guy with the camera who is accusing those women of being white trash, excuse me, Mr. Bravery, I consider you white trash standing there with a child involved in this altercation and doing nothing
as two women are killing each
other in the aisle. Would you guys jump in a situation like that? I would. I swear, I know I would.
You know what?
I would at least try to separate them or remove the child from the situation.
I think the child is the tipping point for me. I don't know that I would ever try to break up two fighting women if they seem to be, you know, working something out. But if there is a child involved, I think I would.
Now, I didn't understand the context of that fight, because I saw the fight, but I don't.
I don't think the fight was ever explained. I think it was just a fight.
The kid was being
it made me feel
they got to get their ass beat.
The kid.
Sometimes.
No.
We are not
back in Uruguay. We're not doing that. It is not the way it works anymore.
We never talked about this on the show, but the lady that beat her son's ass on national TV on CNN got an award from the mayor. Said nobody was like, hey.
Oh, you mean during the riots in Baltimore?
Yes. Yeah. And that really wasn't a beating as much as it was some coercion. She might have thumped him.
But if that happened
I think she cupped him in the head.
Well, okay.
If that happened anywhere else, she would have been, a social service would have been called, and she would have probably had to go to court and did all this drama.
We're going
to
give her an award.
So this,
here's Old Bay for life.
Hello.
I'm the mayor of Baltimore.
No, I don't think it went down like that. So would you, Oscar, would you intervene if you saw two women going at it?
Oh, God.
I mean, let's take it in two pages. If you saw two hot women fighting or two women like you saw in the video fighting.
If the child was in danger and they didn't deserve it, I would have intervened. If the child wasn't in danger and they were part of the catalyst, you got to learn the real world sometimes that you can't just keep pushing.
But even if the child is just having to see this, don't you even want to like turn the kid's face away so he's not having to see it?
In my eyes, you have to learn early.
Having his proximity to it makes him in danger.
It's not
okay, here's what I think. At one point you see, you guys have seen the video, right?
Yeah. Yes.
At one point you see the one woman who gets on top of the other one, and at that point you go, hey, okay, enough of that.
I would run to the pastry aisle, grab some pastries, and throw them to try to distract them. So hopefully by that time, security would show up.
However,
apparently somebody went
and
called security. I think that's what happened.
With those two women in the store, the pastry aisle might be empty.
it was very...
They're pretty agile for their size.
It made me almost sick to my stomach to watch it. It was just
great time to be alive, Mike.
With the kid... with the kid that's sitting there and the kid's hitting on one of the ladies, the lady that was down on the ground, the kid was like hitting her with shampoo bottles or something like that.
It's depressing. It's depressing that this
happens. Very depressing. But what's more depressing is we are such a cowardly society of voyeurs now.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, I remember, I think it was 1970s, that I remember a story out of New York City about a woman who was murdered in an apartment complex courtyard. Mm-hmm. And apparently they counted the number of people that didn't call the police. And
how
many times
okay.
this wow. woman had screamed. And so, but this is in my humble opinion, this is a slight variation on that. Because I think when you sit there, if you're giggling and you're laughing and you're videoing, meanwhile, you know, the right blow, the right fall, right hit your head on the shelves can result in something very quickly that could be horrible.
Well, you bring up a point here that it needs to be said. Not doing something is apathy, and that's detestable in its own way. But if you videotape it, then you are an active participant in prolonging it. And that's like a step in the other direction.
Yeah, and they busted people like moms that have videotaped their kids fighting. Those people have gotten
what about
been brought up
two
on charges.
Adults fighting, no kids involved. Would you step in then?
That's tough.
It depends on whether, to be honest with you, who broke up
your fight outside of Clyde's? Do you remember?
Let me see. I'm trying to think about the way that.
I wish that was on video.
Oh man,
would have gone viral.
I'm trying to think.
The show would be so huge.
No one watched the Simpsons video.
You know. I think what broke it up was Jerky came outside and it just stopped the way mm-hmm. I'd blown out my knee. So, yeah. I mean, that was it. I mean, the guy, I think probably when cooler heads prevailed the next day and I was thinking about my horrible, despicable behavior by
you're
even
a younger
participating.
Man.
No, I mean, you know what I should have done? I should have called a manager. I should have called a manager.
True.
And dealt with this a-hole that way as opposed to going out. And I ended up blowing out a knee and it was a horrible experience. But I think what ultimately resulted in the end of that, the guy took off running. The guy actually took off and ran down the street. Jerky, I think, grabbed the guy in the subway. I think that's actually what happened. You know,
but when I see those type of fights, I'm a pacifist, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to break
two,
them
two
up.
Two men fighting. I have no intention of jumping in.
I always feel like
two women fighting in a grocery store with a child nearby.
Yeah.
I would jump in. In order to prevent the kid from getting hurt.
Whose leg would you sweep first? Like, how do you break up the fight? You're going to break up
the fight.
Well,
you don't break it up. I don't think you break it up when they're standing up, Oscar. I don't think you're going to get there because you're going to catch something if you do that. You might get a roundhouse right in the eye. But when one lady is on top of the other, that's when it looks to me like someone could get very badly hurt. Mm. And that's when I think you at least pull the person
off.
Try
to pull them off.
And usually when one person does that, we're a pack mentality, we human beings. And I think the other people would do that. Now, with that said, Mr. Bravery was when that lady was going out of her mind, I didn't even know what it was about, and I didn't have a dog in the fight, so I actually, and it wasn't being directed at my wife. That would have changed things a little bit.
Sure.
But at the same time, you never know. This is the same thing with that road rage video where the guy got out of the car and almost hit the guy and drove him into a van that was going by and would have killed him. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. You don't know what it's going to cost.
I'm also afraid of, you know, this, we live in such a litigious society now.
Yeah, yeah. They mentioned that on the video. They actually say something about getting sued.
They could sue you.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But, so you got to sometimes, you know, something that comes up here is danger. Mm-hmm. If you break up a bar fight between two guys that are on their feet, slugging at each other, if you try to break that up, you're putting yourself in danger. Mm-hmm. So in that case, you're probably going to say, you know, God bless. I hope it works out. If it's, but you go to the total opposite end of the spectrum, these two women are going at it, and there's a girl, there's a kid there. The kid is in danger.
We used to call it in the bar business the brush fire. We were always more afraid of the brush fire.
Which
than
is
we were.
It spreading?
Yeah, we were always afraid of the brush fire starting.
Women fighting?
The main forest main forest fire was never the initial altercation. If there was a fight in the bar, was not what we worry about. It would be the secondary fight where mm-hmm. people would get hurt because nobody would be centering on that. And you used to have people jump in. Happened all the time.
Riot mentality. It's a riot mentality at a small basis. So you have to, I think, and you know what, it's tough because these things happen very quickly, and you don't have time to really sit down and make a T-chart.
I'd like to,
but you have to think about who's in danger and why.
But if there was a kid involved, I would like to think we'd all help. But who knows, right?
I'm pretty sure when you see two
women are fighting and they go down, you would say, hey, guys, break it up. At least that. Not necessarily getting turbo physical, but just saying, hey, you know, hand on the shoulder, please, stop it. You're hurting her. Stop it. That's the type of thing. Mm. I don't think you're getting in any danger of a lawsuit if you go, hey, please.
Right.
No one did a thing. No one even approached these women. They were looking at it as their afternoon entertainment, and I think that's what I took issue with. And then
Despicable. You
hear the guy that's culpable, that's videotaping the whole thing, going, hey, look at that white trash. Well, you're white trash for laughing and videotaping
and
it at the same time.
Posting it online.
You're
every bit as much at fault as the ladies fighting, if not more.
So getting back to the whole thing with this altercation in the grocery store, it was not directed at my wife. Mm-hmm. It was directed at the courtesy clerk.
Yeah. It's the bagger.
But the person who's checking is either a full-time food clerk or a part-time food clerk. And the courtesy clerk is the person that would bag the groceries or help you to your car.
What a lovely term for the grocery bagger.
Do people still carry groceries to people's cars?
Occasionally, yeah. If you go to one of the better grocery stores,
really?
They'll do it, sure.
We used to call them bag boys.
Mm-hmm.
The bag boy. That's what. Now, why are you? Did you ever hear that term, the bag boy?
That's the first time.
That was, I know, that's, I
difficult
heard that.
When the bag boys like, you know, Brooks from the Shawshank Redemption.
My.
That's a little demeaning when you say bag boy.
Bag boy was my nickname after the vasectomy.
Bag boy. Swollen bag boy.
That was me. But and also what's great is when you see like stuff posted in the break room, it'll refer to the PTFCs, the part-time food clerks.
Now, is the pecking order full-time food clerk, part-time food clerk, and then courtesy clerk?
Yeah, pretty much. And keep in mind,
what is the pecking order at a grocery store?
Pecking order at the grocery store, you have your manager, your assistant managers.
Okay.
That run the certain sections?
No, assistant manager is that's overall for the store.
Okay.
Then you have your meat manager, your produce manager, your dairy guy.
Wasn't that your name when you did the soft porn in the late 1980s? You were known as the meat manager?
Meat manager. And that was also, it was funny. It was I was in the titularly named porn film Meat Manager.
Hey, when you were in the grocery game?
Yeah.
Who got the most ass, like as far as...
The most
titles
ass?
Go, yes.
Probably the hot lady in the front desk.
No, seriously. No. As far as managers. Or were you, if you were the, how about if you're
you know
the
what?
Produce
there was,
manager, maybe?
There was a guy, a teller, and that's the third rank that stays in the front office.
Okay.
There was a guy named Keith who did very well, and we never understood why.
You mean it wasn't the butcher?
No, the meat man?
No, the meat man didn't do it. I would think it
butchers
was the meat
are
man.
Crazy. Butchers are
right.
crazy.
How about the deli counter was the worst place to work.
Deli
in the
counter?
Store. Deli counter?
I never got to do that, but when I first started up, I believe the way they said it was different, but the way I heard it was, "Hey, you're fat. We'll make you work dairy."
Oh.
And because that is, you know, you spend your whole life in the dairy case and it's cold.
Is that where you were?
When I wasn't checking, I was often doing dairy and beer.
Darien beer.
Darien beer.
It's kind of where it all started.
It is, yeah. And I said, hey, how would you like a milk and a Miller Lite?
Hey, we might want to see the manager over in the bakery section, too. Top that off with an eclair. Thank you very much.
You know what, Mike? If you thought The Exorcist was scary, I'd like to invite you to visit the back corner of a backroom dairy case.
Yummy.
Ooh. Yeah, because the dairy leaks and it all sort of puddles. And it's like, I'm making yogurt back here.
Oh, all right, we'll take a break. On that note, come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Master, are you prepared to crush the Rebel Alliance?
I will be in a moment. But right now, I'm updating my Mike O'Mara Show app.
Mike O'Mara Show app? What is it?
You have a mobile phone, right?
Sure.
Is it a smartphone?
Yes, of course.
Is it an Android or iOS?
I do not know, Master.
Well, it's easy. Is it an Apple logo or a little R2 unit?
I always thought it was a space station, but I guess it's an Apple.
Okay, so you have iOS.
Okay.
What you must do is go to the App Store and type in TMOS and hit search.
But is it my destiny?
Yes. It is the easiest way to listen to the Mike O'Mara Show on your phone.
Oh, that Mike O'Mara Show app. It's new, and all the galaxies are talking about it.
I updated yesterday, and I simply love it. An Android have I? Work for me, will it?
Absolutely. Both platforms. The new Mike O'Mara Show app. Download it and improve your galactic empire today. We love it.
I love that, too. Nice. What a great promo. Fantastic. Hey, everybody. If your father loves the finer things, there is no finer gift than the ultimate steakhouse experience right in his own backyard, the Man Grate. 100% cast iron grill grates. Your dad, your pop, your dadu, your
Papa,
thank you very much. Yes, take care of him this Father's Day. Man Grates turn any barbecue into the ultimate grilling machine. And remember how Dad always told you to watch your money? Well, hear this. You will get 40% off all cast iron grates and premium brushes at Mangrate.com when you use our code TMOS. He'll be so proud of you. Plus, spend $50 or more this Father's Day with Man Grate. Get a bunch of them. And your dad will receive a United States of Bacon t-shirt. As always, each Man Grate is 8 pounds of raw cast iron. Anyone will tell you cast iron is the way to cook like a pro. They're 100% American made and designed to fit on top of virtually any grilling surface. And have we mentioned the fabulous Man Grate grilling brush?
Mike, I'm so glad you brought it up. When I was a part-time food clerk, BTFC, and right. I was checking on a busy Saturday night. You know what happens is your scanner glass gets dirty. Nothing would get my scanner glass cleaner than the Man Grate grill brush and homemade Windex.
Nice.
Beautiful.
That's nasty stuff. Order by Monday, June 15th for guaranteed arrival by Father's Day anywhere in the United States. MANGRATE.com and the TMOS code. Make it the tastiest Father's Day ever, people. And what's the matter? Something's wrong. All right, hold on.
Oh, did you switch because of the video?
I did. Now let me do this.
News.
Boo. All right, we got a long one to start news you may not need.
Okay.
This is a bit of a bombshell hitting stores now. This is getting a tremendous amount of buzz in the publishing world. Hugh Hefner's former girlfriend, Holly Madison. I think probably his most famous girlfriend.
I think so, yeah.
She has a new tell-all book coming out, and she reveals that, shockingly, her stint as one of Hef's girlfriends was not one of the best times in her life. I look forward to this.
Oh, this
the excerpts are really, they're so juicy, I got to give them all to you.
Okay.
It all started during a night out with Hugh in 2001. He offered up a handful of large horse pills held together by a crumpled tissue.
That's right out of the gate. Oh, that's the first thing I read. That I'm like, I'm giving it to all. I'm giving all of them. He asked her if she wanted a Quaalude. When she said no, he replied, quote, okay, that's good. Usually I don't approve of drugs, but you know, in the 70s, they used to call these pills thigh openers.
Oh, what a lovely man.
No.
So
this lady, Holly Madison, she's facing homelessness. She's down on her luck. She moves into the Playboy Mansion a few weeks later as she sees firsthand how Hefner controlled all his girlfriends by pitting them against each other to create competition, a competitive atmosphere.
Wow.
But she soon became the number one seed. It was apparently a lot more fun for him than it was for her or any of the girls for that matter. Holly says that when it came to sex, they all, quote, tried to get it over with as quickly as possible. This is too funny.
Wow.
The first time that... This is great, isn't it? I have to share it all.
Yeah, please do.
Wow. The first time she enters his bedroom, Holly says, it was like an episode of Hoarders. There were piles of videotapes, stuffed animals, art, and gifts littering the room. It's just kind of a nasty scene.
It's disgusting.
Isn't it? Two TVs were playing porn. Hefner sat in the middle of his bed, quote, tending to his own business and puffing on a joint.
Wow.
She adds, the girlfriends in various stages of undress were sitting in a semicircle at the edge of the bed, some kneeling, some standing, some lying down. Ew!
Wow.
I'm already grossed out by this. She says, quote, when I think about it now, it's almost comical. Every red-blooded American male has no doubt fantasized about what went on in Hugh Hefner's bedroom with his harem of blonde bombshells. The answer, not a whole lot. Haven't other women come forward and talked about
that too? We had a bunny on in years past, and she said, if I may have this wrong, so this is allegedly, that all she remembers is tons of baby oil and gay porn.
Mm.
When she decided to leave in 2008.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was my honeymoon.
In 2008, she decided to leave. He tried to bribe her by leaving her $3 million in his will. She says, quote, I actually pitied him for stooping to that level. I couldn't help but be offended. Did he really think he could buy me? As for why she's coming out with this now, she says, quote, I'm done being afraid of people. I don't have any loyalty to Hef. I haven't talked to him in 4 years, so there's no reason to reach out now. Besides, it's the truth. Holly's also not friends with her Girls Next Door co-star Kendra Wilkinson, since she threw her and their other castmate, Bridget Marquardt, I guess that's the name,
Marquardt,
under the bus in an interview several years ago. So let's try to get Holly on the show.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated with all things
just
Playboy.
Briefly, and I don't want to burn a bridge here, but let's do some Playboy math. She had nothing going for her but her cans and her looks. She was young, and then propelled her life into stardom by giving her a TV show on the E! Network.
Yes.
Now she works in Las Vegas, has her own show.
Right.
And now, because it was so horrible, she's writing a book about it.
Yeah, yeah, she's nasty. Absolutely.
Well, I'm just saying, it goes both ways.
I understand. She's done being afraid of people, Oscar.
I understand how that's going. You know, it might be a tough interview. Maybe a tough room for her with Mr. Santana over there.
Yeah.
Me, I'm just like the voyeur.
Tell me more.
Just like,
Tell me more.
The guy with the video camera in Walmart. Tell me what Hef did. What did he do? What did the girls do in the semicircle? Thank you very much.
What kind of teddy bears did he have in the bedroom?
That's great. What kind of artwork was it? Miley Cyrus could probably stand to put on a few pounds. I think anybody that's seen her.
Yeah, she's slender.
Once again, except for my distinguished colleague from Bolivia, I believe he probably would think she's looking just fine.
Right.
According to Life and Style magazine, it's more than a recommendation that she put on a few pounds. She's dangerously thin, according to them. Miley is 5'5" and should probably weigh between 119 and 149 pounds.
Okay.
Do you want to say something, or do you want me to read the whole story?
No, it's really...
Mike, sometimes it's best to set the table before you serve the entree.
I understand.
I've seen these charts. You know.
A source says she's down to 99 pounds because she goes days without eating any, quote, real solid food. Instead, she just eats Twix bars and jelly beans.
And Mike, she also drinks a lot of shine.
Moonshine.
She's got a good metabolism, you know.
Billy Ray, there you go. And she brings her own. Okay. Yeah. By the way, George Clooney, boys, is a huge star.
And very handsome.
And that doesn't always translate to box office revenue. Sources say his latest movie, Tomorrowland,
could lose up to $140 million for Disney.
Who could ever imagine that a motion picture based on the area of a theme park wouldn't capture the imagination of the world?
Well, the movie cost $180 million to make and another $150 million to market. So far, in its first 2 weeks, it's only made $170 million worldwide. But Disney isn't freaking out like they did when The Lone Ranger lost $190 million.
Yeah.
Or when John Carter lost $200 million. They're going to do fine this year thanks to their Marvel movies and a little thing called Star Wars.
Yeah, they can't all be winners.
Yeah, they'll do okay with the Star Wars.
37-year-old Liam Bennett of Garnet Wales, or is it Garnant? It's Garnet Wales, just created the newest unholy food hybrid. It is called the Dossage. It combines a donut and a sausage, but it might not be what you're thinking. He took sausages and filled them with jam. Like a jelly donut.
Yeah.
So they're not round. There's no fried dough involved. No powdered sugar. No glaze. No deep frying. He's got six flavors so far. Write these down. Pork with strawberry jam.
Okay.
Pork and beef with custard.
Mm.
Pork with leek and black currant jam. Chicken with raspberry jam. This sounds very British, doesn't it?
It does.
Venison with strawberry custard. And veggie sausage with primrose. What is primrose, food guy?
I don't know what it is. I thought it was a flower.
It's British.
I thought it was a band.
Liam's quote is, "There's always a bit of wariness to begin with, but most people who've tried it have absolutely loved it."
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hey, there we go. Fantastic.
Blew it.
And now a little something-something. Two girls wanted to raise money to buy a Father's Day present, so they set up a lemonade stand in their neighborhood. Andrea and Zoe Green were selling lemonade for 50 cents and kettle corn for a dollar. The girls had earned $25 in about an hour when police arrived. Mm. Are you kidding me? Please. They shut them down for not having a permit. Here's the quote from the police chief. Clyde Carter.
Hi, Clyde Carter.
Clyde Carter says that even though it's a lemonade stand, a permit is required, saying state health guidelines must be followed, blah, blah, blah. It's a lemonade stand. The girl's mother, of course, said she thought it was ridiculous. I agree with her. The sisters have not been deterred by the temporary setback. They said they will set up their lemonade stand again this weekend and accept donations, people.
Excellent.
That's fantastic, because as all girls should know, it's better to give it away than to sell it.
Oh, Thank you.
Three, All right, like that one. All right, we'll take a break. Everybody come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Donald Trump, what is your plan to defeat ISIS?
Enlist the help of all of the celebrities that have participated in my programs. When Mary Lou Henner... When Mary Lou Henner, Lennox Lewis, Pierce Morgan, and Omarosa arrive in Iraq, this army will be ready to fight. Everybody that participates in this plan will get a military uniform, a real one.
A real one.
With boots, helmets, night vision goggles. And when I mention the night vision goggles, Sig Hansen from Deadliest Catch, he said, get me there as soon as possible. It's going to be fantastic. And Paul Tuttle Sr., he did the same exact thing.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MichaelMaraShow.com.
And speaking of the bonus packages, we talk about them all the time. You should get involved. Subscribe now to the 2015 TMOS bonus package. Subscribe for a full year and you'll get full access to all of the 2015 content. On-demand video access to every bonus show. And here's one of the best things. You get the entire bonus show anthology.
Yes.
A lot of people that tear through these shows on a weekly basis say that's one of the best parts of subscribing to the bonus package. And you get it at over a 25% savings. A great way to support your favorite podcast. Waiting for you at MikeOmaraShow.com. Click the banner marked TMOS bonus packages. And now you can even pay with a credit card the TMOS bonus packages because, baby, you're worth it. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Thursday, June 11, 2015. 15, Rob Spiewak.
You know, it's summertime here and all the driving people are going to do with vacationing.
Oh.
Bonus shows are a great companion for car rides.
Boom, bam.
Just telling you that. Mike, have you seen the newest eyewitness account that's burning up the internet?
I have not.
It's a gentleman named Courtney Barnes. Courtney Barnes has been on So
it's
You
a girl's
Think,
name.
But it's a gentleman, I think. And right. he's been on So You Think You Can Dance a couple times. Okay. He's got a very distinct look. And you can see his face on our Facebook page. Yes. He has a straight line unibrow, and he has green hair. And what happened that's tragic is there was a hit and run with a police officer. The police officer is going to be okay. But at this time, this was Courtney Barnes' account of the police officer, getting hit. And Courtney's very worked up.
Okay, well, I'm a witness here. What I seen was a horrible, tragic situation. The guy was coming down, and I guess the police was trying to do a stop point. The man said, no, not today. And they began to race behind each other like cats and dogs. The police officer got behind the man and started going so fast, his car spinned out of control. Girl, he hit the pole. His head went to one side, and his body went to the other side, and this is the result. Lord be with this young man. He need a blessing.
So what did you... Where were you when this happened?
Well, ma'am, I was actually going to buy me a piece of burger from Burger King, and I just stopped right in the middle because my hunger just went away. Because when I seen the accident, girl, I just began to be nosy, and I just had to just understand that somebody was experiencing this difficulty moment that was just not... Ma'am, I just cannot bear to continue to talk.
So if you missed it, he was on his way to Burger King to get a piece of a hamburger. Yeah. And when he saw this horrible tragedy, his hunger went away.
And
he became nosy. And he had to find... Let's hear just... See, Mike, this is what we're talking about. He got involved. Hear just a little more of the account.
Tell me what you saw. Did the police... what I seen was that the police officer was merging towards the front, and the car gunned a little right, and then the police officer kind of submerged, and both of them interacted, and it was a full twist about, and the police car just twisted around like a tornado, girl, and the Lord just shook it up, and the man just got injured, and now the result is this police officer don't know if his life is going to continue to make it, or he going to just tap out.
What did you see the officer do? Did you see, you saw him?
Yes, ma'am. The police officer car fishtail. That's what happened. It fishtail, ma'am.
It's going to be a full twist about Mike.
That chatty Cathy
full
twist to ruin about.
It. I know the full twist about. Thank God the cop's going to be okay. You know what? It was another week went by. So last night there was another Country Music Awards television show on. Do you know how prescient you are sometimes, Oscar? You bring up things on the show. Now this will air on the bonus show.
Yeah.
But do you know who appeared on the CMT Awards last night? Check it out.
Did you see that roadie backstage? Didn't he look like a lot like Joe Dirt?
Oh, Britt, come on. Let's not glorify roadie stereotypes here.
Well, ladies.
David Spade comes out in full Joe Dirt outfit.
What's crappin' in?
What's crappin' in?
It's Joe Dirte, by the way. Is this the Grand Ole Opry? What's going on?
What do you want, Joe?
Well, I guess I'm here to receive some sort of lifetime achievement award, but it's a little unexpected, but I'll take it.
A little? Why would you get a lifetime achievement award?
I guess I haven't done anything. All right. You're right.
I was shocked. That's cool. I was shocked. But you know what else was a big deal is that they had...
By the way, that's the same kind of comedic payoff you get in most of Joe Dirt, the movie.
Yeah, it is.
Because, you know, I was waiting for, why should you get a Lifetime Achievement Award? And then his answer is, I really haven't done anything. Come on! Give me better payoff than that.
Had a running bit on the Country Music Television Awards that they were all getting there not by Uber, but because they were in Nashville, they traveled by Goober. And the Goober driver, Mike.
George Lindsay's dead, right?
Oh, Mike, we've lost George Lindsay. The great
gone. He's long gone. Hey, Andy.
Driving the host's Goober was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
This homeless man looks familiar.
Oh,
I should set it up. They pick up a homeless guy, turns out to be Tom Arnold.
This homeless man looks familiar.
Oh, no, it's just a poor guy down on his luck. Oh, God, he's getting in.
Hey, Arnold.
Tom Arnold?
Wow, look at you, driving a Goober. Boy, times must be tough.
Now listen, we're gonna clean you up, okay? And then I'm gonna take you as my plus one, all right?
That'd be nice.
You know, this traffic is giving me a headache.
Are you sure it's not a...
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor at all.
I am so not giving him a good rating.
But Arnold looks like a robot
kudos
now.
Kudos to the country folk for being, that's kind of a pretty funny cool. bit.
It is,
I like
Mike,
that.
You got to go by Goober.
Goober. It's not a tumor.
Real quick, Mike, tied up. The Blackhawks beat the Lightning last night.
8 seconds to go. Puck played on back. Strawman across. Hedman there.
They are playing the best hockey. These two teams that are in the finals, the Blackhawks and the Lightning, are they deserve it. They totally deserve
it. So will
you
be happy with either outcome because they're both playing so well?
Look, you've got the NBA and the NHL that are providing the best entertainment right now.
In a long time.
This is quality stuff in both leagues. I think it's fantastic. And, you know, more power to all of them. There are no losers in these finals. Really, really great competition.
That said, did you know that chimps like wine?
No, I didn't.
It's true. Chimpanzees will drink wine.
A new study has found that chimpanzees in Western Africa will drink wine if given the opportunity. The discovery was made while watching Real House Chimps of Nigeria.
That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
That's good stuff.
Hold on.
Wait a minute.
Thank you. It's closed out.
Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone. Be sure and join us again. For more fun and more thrills at MikeOMaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the Mike O'Mara Show with a letter or package, send it to Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your message or birthday request into our mailbag, it's Rob with two Bs at MikeOMaraShow.com. And our show relies on your word of mouth. Tell a friend about us, please. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Wait, don't go. I need to tell you that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is perfect for all your online shopping needs. Shop the best way. Shop Amazon. And please go through our website. Always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.